This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest, and it's been a long time since this gentleman's been on my show, and I'm looking forward to interviewing him and finding out what's going on. Last time that he was on the show was back in September of 2019. I'm talking about no other than Pressure Biosciences, Inc. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol PBIO. And with me today is the CEO and president and founder of the company, founder of the company, Mr. Rick Schumacher. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and probably my fault, but it's good to hear you, and it's good to catch up and find out what's going on with Pressure Biosciences. My first question for you is that we see that PBI announced a co-marketing agreement with Leica, one of the oldest and most respected names in the world of microscopes, if you will. Tell us about how did that come about, and what does this mean to your company?
I'd love to do that, but if it's okay, because you pointed out it's been almost 2 years since I've been on, I can give a brief overview of the company, and then that'll lead right into answering your question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. So as you said, we're an OTCQB, publicly traded company. We're actually a manufacturer of instruments, consumables, and specialty laboratory services to companies all over the world. Our customers are pharmaceutical, biotech, nutraceutical, agriculture, cosmetics, and food and beverage companies worldwide. Ev, as you know, we have 26 issued patents. These are all related to using high pressure. Pressure is an amazing force of nature. When you think about a scientist in a lab and they're working with a liquid and they're trying to control the molecules in that liquid, they can use heat to speed things up and cold to slow things down and chemicals to modify things. Pressure can often do many of the things that temperature and chemicals can do, but the difference is that pressure moves at the speed of sound. It's almost instantaneous. You can turn it on and off like a light switch. Once you have it on and turn it off, you don't have to take something out like chemicals. You don't have to cool it down or heat it back up to normal. So it's got wonderful properties, but it's just that scientists haven't really had access to using pressure safely, especially high pressure safely, until we came along. So we're developing three commercial technology platforms based on our 26 patents. One is called pressure cycling technology, or PCT. A second is called Barofold, and a third is called ultra shear technology, or UST. And you asked about Leica, and you asked about PCT, pressure cycling technology. So we'll talk about that one first. PCT is where we actually put materials under pressure. These are usually chemicals and solutions in a laboratory. We put them in different test tubes, and if it's not a test tube, it might be a small tube. We put them in a pressure chamber. We sell these instruments, and we can figure out what pressure it has to go to, how long under pressure, and how many times we want to cycle or turn the pressure on and off. And of our 26 patents, about half of them are in PCT. And what does this do? It controls the molecules inside of the solution. For instance, if I'm working with HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, and I want to make it safe, I can kill the virus using heat, but I can also kill it using pressure. And once I put it inside the pressure chamber and I run some studies, I'll know how much pressure, how long under pressure, and how many times I turn pressure on and off to completely destroy the HIV. But it's still in a situation where I can still test for it. I can still learn about it. I can still work on it to develop diagnostic tests or therapies for it. But I've inactivated it using just pressure. And we can do this with other bacteria. We can do it with viruses. We can do it with cancer cells. We can open them up and close them and do all kinds of things using pressure. To your point about Leica, Leica is a 100-year-old microscope company. We announced that we have a co-marketing agreement with them. They have a new microscope that's a laser microscope where they can actually look at a pathology sample, a biopsy, and with the laser they can hone in on a very, very distinct part of that biopsy tissue, and they can actually cut it out. And what we do is we offer them our machine so that when they cut it out with that laser, it drops into one of our consumable test tubes. It then gets moved right into our pressure-generating machine. We then generate the pressure, which causes the piece of tissue from the biopsy to be what we call homogenized or broken up and released. And then when all these molecules are released, they then move into a third instrument called a mass spectrometer, and it reads it, and it can look for things that are related to cancer or not related to cancer, or progression of cancer or non-progression of cancer. So we're right in the middle between an amazing laser microscope from Leica and a mass spectrometer. Those machines are $300,000 to $500,000, and we're in between taking what comes out of the laser microscope, processing it using our consumables and our instrument, and then it goes down into the reading machine, which is a mass spectrometer, and that way they're able to learn a lot more about the cancers and the cancer samples that they're studying.
If my memory serves me right, PBI purchased the assets of Barrowfold Corp several years ago, and it seems that that technology you acquire is now starting to get, I would say, some momentum. What can you tell us about that from here?
So as we said earlier, everything we do relates to pressure. We are a pressure company, Pressure Biosciences. And this second technology, where we have 8 issued patents, is one you're absolutely right, a brilliant mind. We purchased the assets about 3 years ago. We started offering services about a year and a half to 2 years ago. And we're doing it by word of mouth, and it's picked up. We now have 4 different groups. 2 of them are multi-billion-dollar international pharmaceutical companies, and 2 of them are startups. And they both came to us through word of mouth. And what we're doing, we're using pressure, and again, pressure can affect molecules. So what I have to talk about are pharmaceuticals, are drugs and therapeutics. So when you think about drugs and therapeutics 20 and 30 years ago and 100 years ago, they were all made out of chemicals. Well, nowadays, about 22%, I read, of all therapeutics around the world, about 400 therapeutics, are actually made of proteins. And proteins have an amazing advantage over a lot of chemicals because they're very specific. And so they could be monoclonal antibodies or other proteins. These proteins are actually made in the pharmaceutical company's lab, and they make them in huge vats. And when they make these proteins, sometimes, you know, there's maybe 500 things that they have to watch for. And there's two of the biggest things that could go wrong are that when the proteins are expressed in these vats, the one is that the proteins can clump together, and that's gonna make it so they don't work very well and can't even be used. Or the second thing is a protein is got an actual structure. It's gotta be in an exact structure that Mother Nature wants it to be in for it to work. It's like a lock and a key. And you can take a key, right, and chisel off a little piece of the key, and it'll never work in the lock. Same thing with the protein, and its work inside the body. It has to be exact. And when you make it in the lab, occasionally it's not exactly the way Mother Nature wanted it to be. So pressure has this innate ability to sometimes fix these two big problems. If the proteins are clumped together, pressure can sometimes unclump them, free them up so they can be used. And if the protein is not exactly the formation, the structure it's supposed to be, if you use pressure to on it and release the pressure and turn it off, very specific in a machine that we've developed, you can sometimes fix the structure so it goes to what Mother Nature wanted to be. So imagine you're a pharmaceutical company and you're developing a drug for arthritis or cancer or heart disease, and you're making it in the lab and it's not exactly right, and you've got $5 million, let's say, of that drug. You don't want to throw that away because it didn't quite work well when you made it that day. So what we're offering as a service is the ability to bring us into the equation. And what we can do sometimes is that under certain conditions, using our our processes that are backed by our patents, we can put pressure on the protein drug and we can fix that problem. So imagine that we could be part of a company or multiple companies' drugs that are on the market to make sure that they're enhanced and fixed before they go out on the market. So we're very excited because through word of mouth, we've had 6 companies come to us. 4 right now are asking us for their help. We don't talk about it much because when a company comes to us for help with Barrifold, it usually means they're having an issue. But our goal here, our business plan here, is to help them. And when we find someone we can really help with our technology, that's somebody that we could license it to, and we can get user fees or license fees for multiple years. Imagine that for a billion-dollar drug. It'd be quite a runway for us to profitability.
You know, over the past week, you guys have been putting out some news. Pressure Biosciences has been in the news a lot recently about information on food industry consortium, and you guys have teamed up with Ohio State University. What is that going to do for you guys moving forward?
Oh, it's so exciting, Ev. It's so exciting. This talks about our third technology platform, and we've had one patent issued. We think more are coming soon, and it's ultra shear. To talk about it, I have to talk a little bit about a process called high pressure processing. This is a process that was started about 20 years ago in the food industry. Again, pressure can do many things. It can kill bacteria. So the U.S. Army contracted with Dr. Bala of Ohio State and Dr. Ting, who was with a company called Flow Industries at the time. This is around 2000, year 2000. And they wanted to see if pressure could help them reduce the bacteria in food to make it safer longer, but not have to use chemicals. It's what we call clean label. If you can reduce or eliminate the need of chemicals to keep the microbes from growing, that would be fantastic. And so they started using high pressure processing, putting liquids at that time under food, under pressure to see if it could reduce. And sure enough, it worked. And nowadays it's a $15 billion with a B, billion-dollar market. Anybody listening could go to Starbucks, for instance, and look for a juice called Evolution. It's a very tall, thin bottle with brightly colored juices. You'll see, if you read every label on it, you'll never see a single chemical in that juice. Why? Because they process it, and then they put it into a high-pressure tank. They put it under very high pressure for a period of time, and it's like pasteurization, but that's heat. This is with pressure, so it's pressure pasteurization. They don't kill all the bacteria and things, but they reduce it to a level where you don't have to add chemicals. They can then take it and ship it out and sell it, and it's good for the same period of time, 2 or 3 weeks, let's say, on a shelf life, but it doesn't have chemicals. It's clean label. So why am I talking about high pressure processing? Because there's some foods, in fact, a lot of foods, that will not react to high pressure alone. So our UltraShear technology combines high pressure that we're experts in with shearing at ultra high pressures, shearing or cutting. And we filed a number of patents. One patent has already been issued in the U.S. We're very proud of that, very happy with that. And because we believe that we can bring this into the food and beverage industry, we teamed up with Dr. Bala, the same Dr. Bala from 20 years ago, the expert in the food industry. Dr. Ting, who is the expert at Flow, is now our head engineer and has been with us for a number of years. And so this team got back together. We've developed this method, and we've just announced, as you said last week, the formation of a food industry consortium where Ohio State is asking all food companies, if they want to join, they'll pay a fee. They'll be able to have a first look in their massive processing facility at the College of Food and Agriculture and Environmental Science at Ohio State. They'll be able to come and have a first look at UltraShear as we're developing. It's not on the market yet, but we have prototypes at work. They'll be able to come in and look at some of their food and how it's processed. Everyone's goal is to increase the stability, make it last longer, use less, if not any, chemicals, and try to have it taste as good and sometimes better than it does when you use heat and chemicals to do that. So we're very excited about this because we feel ultra shear technology has an amazing upside in the food and beverage industry. It's also a different call, perhaps. We can talk about it in the pharmaceutical, nutraceutical, cosmetics, agriculture industry. But this one was all about food and beverage, and that this formation of this industry food consortium will allow, we think, dozens of food companies to have access to Ultra Shear. And when they see what it can do, we're making it available for them to license from us in Ohio State the technology to bring it in. So you can imagine if it's a little food company or a multi-billion dollar multinational food company, and they license Ultra Shear for their juice, for their milk, for their mayonnaise, for their salad dressing, for whatever it is, those license fees will come to us and to Ohio State. And this is starting now. We're starting it. We announced the formation of the consortium just in the past week to 10 days.
Rick, we've got about 20 seconds left. It's, like I said, it's been about a year and a half since you've been on the show. What is it that my listeners and maybe your stockholders should take a look at your stock now, and what you want them to take away from today's interview?
What I want them to take away is that it's been a long time coming. We know that. We've been undercapitalized a lot, and therefore it's slowed our growth, but we're getting there. We now have all three of our technologies that are in prime time. All three of them are ready to be offered to for use by our customers. Our customers are a who's who in the world. We're very excited. We think that the rest of 2021 is going to be marvelous for us, and we're really looking forward to 2022 and a number of companies using and licensing our technologies.
Rick, thank you so much for coming on the show. I greatly appreciate it. Rick Schumacher has been my guest today. He is the CEO and president and founder of Pressure Biosciences, Inc. Look him up. You can find him on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol PBIO. Rick, I just hope next time you come on the show, I don't have to wait over a year again for you to come back on. Hopefully you'll come back on in the next 50 or 60 days and give us an update.
I'd love to do that, Everett. You take care now.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.